Well, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you. This is the day that you've made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, you are good all the time. In our mountaintop experiences, you're good. In the valley experiences, you're good. You said to not forget you in the mountaintop experiences, God. When we have all that we want to eat and we have all this abundance, not to forget that it's you that brought it to us. And so, God, we remember you in the valley and the mountaintop and everything in between. And we thank you that you're with us, and we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, the one who was, is, and always shall be. The one who is light, and in you is no darkness at all. You are love, God, and you have extended love to us. Because of your love, Jesus came. Mercy and grace intertwined in salvation for us, and we thank you for it. Now, continue to have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have been going through the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 2, but instead of that right now, and I don't know, we may get over there in a little bit, but let's go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what we call the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. Go is operative there. It's one of the most important words in the Bible. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, when it says he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, this is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about he that believes and is baptized into Jesus. This word really means union with and identification with. We are made one with him. We're united to him, and we're then identified with him. Oftentimes in the Bible, that took place with baptism. We often, in modern day America, refer to an altar call. That's when somebody makes Jesus their Lord. But you realize, sitting in the pew, sitting in the chair, you can make Jesus your Lord as well. So when he talks about he that believes and is baptized, it's really talking about being made one with him. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are you a born-again believer? You realize you can believe and not be born again. Oh, no, you can't. Yes, you can. You can believe and not ask him to be your Lord. I did it for many years. When I was a kid, I knew without any doubt, with absolute certainty, that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed salvation. I knew that Jesus died on a cross for me. I knew that. I knew all of that. But for me to receive Jesus as my Lord, there had to be, and I'm not telling you have to do this, but I knew for me there had to be a public declaration. That public declaration was walking to the front. That was the declaration for me. I knew it for years, but I didn't do it. I was a believer, but I was not born again. I can show you in the Bible where there were people that were believers of Jesus. Nobody at this point was born again yet, but there were people who were believers but were not followers. They were not disciples of his. Today we have believers, we have born again believers, and then we have the next step is disciples, those that truly follow him. We have a whole lot of people that really are born again. They ask Jesus to be their Lord. They've been baptized into him, but they're not following him. They're not following him. And we want to follow him. You know, turn over to Philippians. Let's see, where is that? Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That I may know him. Thought Paul already knew him. That I may know him more and more and more. That I may truly know him. That I may know all about him, absolutely. But that I may know him by personal experience. That I may walk with him. That I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. That resurrection power may operate in and through me. That resurrection power keeps me alive daily. Resurrection power operates in me, and then resurrection power operates through me. That I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may together suffer with him. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may die daily. Jesus actually talked about that. You know, that take up your cross. You know, he said, come follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. When he said that, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, he's saying, deny yourself. Deny the desires of the flesh now. Take up your cross, which means walk the walk of death daily. Because I think it's in Luke's account, he actually says there daily. And then follow me, which means become my disciple. So we have believers, we have born-again believers, and then we have disciples. And we want to be disciples. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, Jesus talked there. It's just the last few verses of Matthew 11. And he says here, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And go on into the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, there's a couple different ways to look at that, but one of which, as we were in prayer, you know, we were going into prayer, I talked about being a laborer together with God. One way we do that is we are yoked together with him. We come under that same yoke and we pull together to get done what God wants done. Can also be looked at as coming under his teaching and his instruction. In other words, becoming his disciple. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Then going into the next verse. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He doesn't say that there's not a yoke, but he says it fits right. Now, anybody ever been hiking, backpacking? Anybody ever done that? I've never done it, but from what I understand, a lot of people do that. And if you get a backpack that fits right, it doesn't actually hurt your back. It sets right, and you can actually carry quite a bit of stuff in it. And you can backpack, but if you get one that fits wrong, it is not easy, and it is not light. And the thing of it is, we have a yoke. You should have a burden for the lost. You should have a burden for the lost. You should have a burden to see people set free. You should have a burden to see people growing. You should have these burdens. This is part of being his disciple. So, again, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. It comes down to us being not just believers, not even just born-again believers. And that's great. You know, I'm headed to heaven. But being someone who follows him, being someone who is his disciple. Well, what does that look like today? In Jesus' day, it meant that they walked around with him. What did it mean after he left the scene, after he was in heaven? He wasn't physically there with them. Were they still his disciples? They were. They still followed the word which he had spoken. Matter of fact, it was so important. One of the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do is that he would bring back to their remembrance the word that he had spoken. I like to put it this way. He'll bring back to your remembrance the word that you've heard. If you haven't heard it, he can't bring it back to your remembrance. He can teach it to you. But if you've heard it and you've got it planted in you, then he can cause it to rise from the core of your being. That comes out of the book of John. Chapter 14 and chapter 16 are so familiar there. I get the two confused. I don't remember which one that is in. But it's in either 14 or 16. Either the 14th or the 16th chapter of John. Jesus talks about when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, he's going to do certain things, one of which was to bring back to their remembrance the word that they've heard. Bring back to their remembrance the word of Jesus that they've heard. So how did they walk with Jesus? How were they still his disciples after he left the scene? They were still his disciples after he left the scene by keeping the word which he had spoken unto them. But then it was also the word which the Holy Spirit spoke unto them. Because Jesus himself said, in the same manner that I am with you and I am your comforter, when I leave the scene, I'm going to ask the Father that he will give unto you another comforter. When he said another, it means exactly the same as him, identical in character to the first. So, the way that Jesus was on the outside, the Holy Spirit is on the inside. So being a disciple of Jesus today is being a disciple in the exact same way that Peter and James and John and, you know, the ones who physically walked with him, being a disciple after Jesus left the scene is no different for them than it is for us. Yeah, but they had seen him. Doesn't matter. Because he was not physically with them. They had to listen to the Holy Ghost. And I can guarantee you they did. You read the Word of God, read the book of Acts, and you'll see them following. You know, you see in the 10th chapter of Acts, you see really the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the Gentiles in that chapter. At the beginning of that chapter, you see a Gentile centurion named Cornelius. He's at home. He's praying. He's a good man. He's seeking the will of God. And God sends to him an angel. And this angel tells him where to send for someone by the name of Peter. Gives him specific instructions. He'll come and tell you what you need to do to be saved. Well, the angel didn't preach to him. You realize that it says, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that duty is up to us. That's our task. Remember where we began in Mark chapter 16. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We are believers. We're born again believers, and we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. So we are to continue to be his disciples. We walk the same pathway that they did. That pathway is not one of sight. That pathway is one of the Spirit. For we walk not by faith, or we walk not by sight, but by faith. So that means that we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That we hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. You hear him just like Peter did there in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius sends this, he sends some men to go get Peter. They come, Peter's up on the roof, and he falls into a trance and has a vision. In that trance, having this vision, God basically tells him the Gentiles are coming in. He also at that same time declared all foods clean. That's an interesting thing. It's okay to eat pork now. At one time, you couldn't eat pork, you couldn't eat catfish. Oh my, I would have made terrible Old Testament Jew. I'd make a terrible Jew trying to do it today under the Old Covenant. Because I like catfish and I like pork. I really like pork. But those two things especially, I would not have made it very well. And I guess if I didn't know any better. But anyway, Peter's up on the roof. And he sees this vision, this spectacular. God lets down this sheet by the four corners. It opens up and there are all these animals and these creeping things. And God speaks to him in this vision, says, take, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. I've never partaken of anything unclean. And God said to him, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Did that three times, took it up. And Peter's there sitting there then. And you have this spectacular vision that he's just had. And the men come to the door, and they come knocking on the door, I suppose, and they start asking for Peter. Well, then we see something unique there Because we think that all the disciples were always led by the spectacular. Because we see the vision. We see what happened with Paul, you know, when he was going to destroy the church. We see these great things. We see the book of Revelation to John. We see all of these things. And we think that, the way that they were led was by the spectacular. Well, Peter was led by the spectacular, but then he's sitting there on the roof, and it says there, the Spirit spoke to him and said, go with them, for I've sent them. So he's just had the spectacular, but he is so familiar with the voice of the Holy Ghost that he doesn't doubt this is God. He's had the spectacular, the vision, and now he has the inner leading. That's how you're led. So we are to be Jesus' disciples. We're to be led by him. Now let's go back then to we're to be led by the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to Mark 16 again. In verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Don't you ever be afraid of a demon. Don't be afraid of the devil. Ever. We see all this spooky stuff on TV and in movies and all of this, and it is to familiarize people with the demonic, but it's also to scare people. You realize that the most powerful of the demonic realm is under your feet. He's under your feet. Now, how do we get that? Well, I can give it to you in a couple different places. I can give it to you out of Ephesians chapter 1. You know, we have that great prayer beginning there and somewhere around verse 16. And then you go down through, I think it's verse 21, to the end of that chapter. And we see that God has given Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So but it says he is above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name in this name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All principality, power, might, dominion, and every name in this name has been put under his feet. Then he talks about the body of Christ, that's us. If it's been put under our feet, under his feet, it's been put under our feet. You may think, I am the foot of the body of Christ. You may think, I'm the skin on the bottom of the foot. You may think, I'm the arch. I'm the, it doesn't matter. Because the power of the enemy is under you. Then you go into the second chapter, somewhere around verse 6, and it says, we have been seated together with him. So we've been seated together with him there in heavenly places. So the power of the enemy is under our feet. Then you can go over into Luke chapter 10. And Jesus has sent out disciples. He sent out those that are his followers. And they go and they minister and they come back and they are so excited. He gave them authority over the enemy. He gave them authority to go and heal and to minister. He gave them, he gave them authority to go and preach in his name, in him. Well, they come back and they are so excited because demons are subject to them through his name. And they're in, I think it's the 17th verse, Luke 10, 17. He talks about this and going down then through verse 19. And he says here, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18 then, and we go into it, and it says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give you power, which is really not the word power. Power is dunamis. Strong's number is 1411 on it. That's not what this is. This is 1849, which means authority. He has given us authority. The Greek word is exousia. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he says the enemy's under our feet. So when we read there in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall cast out devils. So, You can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. In my name, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, you need to become so familiar with who you are in Christ that you begin to lose sight of who you are physically. Now, I don't mean you don't see yourself. What I mean is you see yourself like He sees you. That you see yourself as in Christ, as in Him. And when you are in Him, come on. I'll take you on because I'm in Christ. And if Jesus were physically here and He is in me, He would trounce you, so I'm going to trounce you. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy. These signs should follow them that believe. We are believers. We're born again believers, and we are disciples. So we are those who are Spirit-led. We are those who hear the voice of God on the inside. Now, I cannot bind everything. I simply can't do that. But when I have unction from the Holy One, I absolutely can bind. When we had prayer tonight, I don't just go around and start binding everything. I'm listening to God. I'm going where He wants us to go. And if He shows me something and He wants me to bind it, I can bind it. And I'll say this, nothing is beyond the ability to be bound when I'm connected to Him and He gives me that authority. The great thing about this is you're under His authority when He gives you His word. And only one under authority can exercise authority. So if you're out there on your own, you're out there on your own. But I'm telling you, you come up against a demon, don't be worried. If that person truly desires to be set free, you can set them free. You can set them free. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think most people that are demon-possessed want to be free. There are some that don't. And even if you were able to cast the demon out, it'd come right back because they want it back. But when they have the desire to be set free, you can set them free, and they will be free indeed. My cousin, Tracy, my pastor in Georgia is her dad. You hear me refer to Pastor Bill or Uncle Bill. That's her dad. And they just had some services that were not what you consider the normal services. I'll just give you a little bit of background. When I graduated from Rhema, I was back in Illinois for about 6 months, and then I moved to Georgia, a little over 6 months. I moved to Georgia and helped my uncle start those churches that are there. And along with me, there was Tracy, his daughter, and there was Deborah, who was Tracy's best friend at the time, and there was another couple, Lynn and Mishi Boychuk. They were from the Chicago church they had gone, which Uncle Bill pastored. They had gone to Rhema at the same time as him, graduated with him, and there was a connection there, and they moved then to Georgia and helped start that church. He actually started two churches. And they had, Lynn and Mishi had two sons, Michael and David Boychuk. And Michael's the older one, David's the younger one. And I remember them. They were the first youth in the church because they came with them. And when they were young, it didn't really seem like they were getting a whole lot. Now, I tell you this because you don't see, first of all, you don't see the end of the matter. Second of all, you're looking oftentimes at merely the flesh. And we had those two boys in youth. Now, David, the younger of the two, is a pastor, and oh my, what a man of God. What an incredible man of God. He has a church in Cartersville, which is not very far from the Atlanta area. It's just a little bit north of there. And he came out of my uncle's church, and God has been raising up an incredible church through him. And they are a church that was founded, really, and their main congregants are former drug addicts, alcoholics, like street people, people that most of society thinks of as the dregs of society. Yeah, they get out of jail, you know, and David had a real in with a lot of these because at one time he was a policeman, and then he went into the jail system and ministered there. And you talk about casting out devils, there's a whole lot of demons in jails, demon-possessed people. And he learned to deal with the demonic, and he learned who he is. And he has since then, they've got a church that is bursting at the seams. They don't have a big enough building for them. It's not a real big building. I think they're probably running 100 and maybe 150 people. I don't know for sure. But God is doing one thing after another after another. And God has dealt with David to go out and do meetings in certain places. He is very evangelistic. And he has trained his people. They have come out of drugs. They have come out of alcohol. They have come out of these situations. And he's got people in his church that were demon-possessed at one time that have been set free. I mean, he has an incredible church. I've never been to it, but I've heard all kinds of stories about him. And I know him personally. Matter of fact, he'd come here if I asked him to come and preach for me. And he, just this last weekend, God had laid it on David's heart to do something that he had done before. He had gone into other areas. He'd paid for all of the advertising. He's also a man of faith. He was raised up in a faith church, so he knows how faith operates. And God dealt with him to go in to do all the advertising, to take care of all of it themselves, but they canvassed the area, and they went in and prayed. Well, they would get people saved before the meetings, and then they had spectacular meetings. He dealt with him to do the same thing for my uncle. He called Uncle Bill and said, I'd like to have lunch with you. So they went and had lunch, and they sat down and talked about it. And God said to him, he said God had told him that I'm to pay for everything. You don't pay for anything if you'll let me do that. And he did. And I just spoke to my uncle on Monday, and probably the best meetings he's ever had in his life. And he told the people, he said, don't call these meetings, call it revival. And he told me, Earl, it was revival. It was revival. And they had people that came to the service that were demon-possessed. And in the service, they cast a demon out. And this woman, it was a woman, would not say, Jesus is Lord. Just wouldn't say it. But she wanted to be free. And they cast the demon out of her. And David cast the demon out of her. Then he went on to the next person in line and the next person in line, healing line and whatever they needed. And he asked Tracy to come up. His wife was not there because she was at home with the kids. They have 12 children. 12. Oh, man. But anyway, she was at home with the kids. And so he asked Tracy to come up, and she began to minister to this lady. And before long, the lady's shouting, Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! She got set free from a demon, got born again, probably got baptized in the Holy Ghost. These are disciples. I'm frustrated with the lack of the power of God. I'm telling you, God is just as powerful as he has ever been. He wants just as much to set people free as he ever has. He will set people free, but you need to have the attitude, nothing can stop me when I am walking with him. You need to know who you are, not just whose you are. Knowing whose you are, I belong to God. Knowing who you are, I am in Christ and Christ is in me. I shine. I crackle with the power of God. Nothing can stop me when I am serving him. I am walking with him. I can do what he wants me to do. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized, oh, God gets excited about that. Jesus gave us that example of the sheep, the 99. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's lost. God, it gets excited when people receive Jesus as their Lord. Angels rejoice when one that's lost comes in. And we need to get excited. Not that there are lost people, but that people are going to be saved. We need to be exactly what God wants us to be, which is a church that's getting people saved, a church that's getting people set free, a church that's getting people baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, a church that's getting people that are growing them up, a church that's teaching people to go out and multiply. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a Rhema education as far as going to the Bible school that I went to. You just need to know God. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That I may know Him more and more. And more, and more, and more, and more. And the more I know Him, the more I realize there's more to know. And the more I walk with Him, the more I know that I can walk with Him. And the deeper I go, the more I realize there's depths that I have not even remotely realized that they're there. And the higher that I go with Him, the more that I see, the more that I see. Another thing that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do is that He would show you things to come. And sometimes He shows you things to come so that you can hook up with Him to bring them about. I'm telling you, people, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of seeing and knowing. He is the Spirit of revelation. And the more that we walk with Him, the more spectacular things, absolutely, but the more it just becomes the norm. And I don't say that in a way where I am I'm demeaning the Holy Spirit. The life that we live should be the norm of I'm led by the Holy Ghost. That should not be the exception to the rule. That should be the norm. Every day I walk with Him. Every day He speaks to me every day. He reveals things to me every day. We come together and we accomplish things. Every day I labor together with Him. We have a co-laboring fellowship, me and Him, Him and me. And it's not me twisting His arm to get Him to do what I want. It's about me submitting to Him. I'm going to close here in a moment. But let's turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I believe it's verse, let's see. No, I'm sorry, it's James chapter 4. 1 Peter 5, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what is the first part of this? Submission to God. The devil doesn't stand a chance if you will submit yourself to God and resist him. He will flee from you. I made this statement a while ago. Only one under authority can exercise authority. That's what this is saying. If you're under his authority, you have authority. And the devil will run from you. That doesn't mean he's going to give up. He'll still try. He'll still try. But I'm going to tell you, he cannot stand against you. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this as well. He cannot stand you. He hates you. Why? Because God loves you. And anything God loves, he wants to destroy. What is his whole what is it that the devil does? Well, it tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes what? Not for, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. To steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to do it through deception. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try and scare you. But you, when you begin to get in the Word of God and you begin to see who you are, you begin to rise up, you become a threat to him. Oh my, I'm telling you, you can trample him underfoot. When Jesus said, he talked about in Matthew chapter 16, where he was talking, we see the great confession where he asks the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That section of scripture there, he goes on from, well, let me just turn there real quick. Matthew 16. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's verse 16. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock shall I do what? Build my church. Now, there's two different words, and there's misinterpretation of this. Peter means rock, but it means like a little pebble. You are Peter, a small rock, and upon this rock, this is the word Petra. And it is like, anybody ever been to Stone Mountain in Georgia? If you have, this is a massive, I know Jennifer has, we've been there together. It is a massive piece of rock. It just sticks up, you can see it for miles. That's what this is talking about. This is not a little pebble. He says, upon this rock will I build my church. What is the rock? What is this? It is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And he says, on the revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is not a defensive thing. It does not mean that as long as we stay within these gates, we're okay. It means that we drive the gates of hell backwards. That's what this means. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that is founded upon the revelation of who Jesus is. If you know who he is and you know who you are, I'm telling you, you can take ground, you can drive the gates of hell backwards, and we are taking ground and we are driving the gates of hell backwards. We are taking this community. We are taking this area. We are taking this state. I don't care how long it may have been in this state, this condition. I don't care. It doesn't matter because God is on the scene. You know why I know that? Because I'm on the scene. And he dwells in me. And he's mighty in me. And he's mighty in you. God's going to do some incredible things. I'm telling you, he has, he is, and he shall continue to. And soon, and very soon, we're going to hear the command from heaven. We're going to hear the trumpet of heaven, and we're going to be called upward. But in the meantime, we're taking ground. We're taking ground. Father, we thank you. This is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We are the children of the Most High God. We are saints. Oh, we've been sanctified. We've been made holy. Oh, God, we are seen in you, Jesus. And when we're forgiven, and we are forgiven, oh, we are clean. We are unstained. And we are unrebukable. Oh, we are such that there is nothing in us. When we are in you and you are in us and we are forgiven, there is nothing of the devil to grab hold of in us. Oh, when we are examined properly and your eyes see everything, you declare we are unchargeable. The enemy has no charge that will stick because we're holy. I just thank you for that. Now, God, awaken us and use us as only you can. Lord, it doesn't matter that I grew up in a town of 350 people. It doesn't matter that I don't have a college education. It doesn't matter whether these people can quote two-thirds of the New Testament or they can't quote a single verse. If they know you, they can say what you want to say, said. They can do what you want done. And they have the victory. God, you said that you lead us in victory. So when we're led by you, we have victory. And I thank you for Holy Spirit quickening us, enlightening our eyes, making us aware of the moving of you, and enlightening our eyes to the opportunities that lie before us to minister, to take ground, to set people free, and to have the victory. Now, as we go forward tonight, Holy One, not only guard us, but guide us even tonight. Set the destinations for us in our heart. And we will choose them, and we will embrace them, and we will go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.